So 11 weeks so far on Christian stewardship, and we've looked at and been thinking about how to be a good steward with the different gifts, with the different resources that God has given us. We've looked at money, several weeks on money and finances. We looked at our time. We looked at how we steward our rest. We looked at how we steward our health. We even looked at how we steward our poor health last Lord's Day. And then one more lesson this morning, and that's stewarding our skills. By our skills, we're talking about those God-given individual and personal capabilities and capacities, things that you can do that I can't do. So here's a question for us to start with this morning. You see all these various skills here, you know, carpentry skills, cooking skills, painting skills, nursing skills, mechanic skills, musical skills, all those kinds of things, those various capabilities and capacities that God's given us. But here's a question for us. How should a Christian think differently about their skills compared to how the world views its skills? And that's, of course, the whole point of stewardship. Everything that we have, everything that we are, has been given to us by God, and we steward those things. And so to get started this morning, I want to sort of frame and filter everything we say about stewarding our skills through one passage, and it's this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. So here's our read the Word of God to us this morning. As each has received a gift. I'm going to stop right there because I think most specifically, the Apostle Peter is talking about spiritual gifts that God gives to us. We're looking at it a little broader than that this morning. You know, in the very first lessons, we started talking about talents that weren't talents. It was a sort of a amount of money. But today we're going to be talking about talents that are talents, those gifts and skills and abilities. So we're using this a little broader than specifically spiritual gifts. Obviously, those come from God. So let me go back and start reading that again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's the frame and the filter that we're using this morning. And we'll consider four observations from this passage. And those four observations will form our outline for today. And those four observations from that passage will be these. First, our skills come from God. Second, God gave us those skills to show off his glory. Third, your skills are a stewardship given by God for God. And then fourth, your skills are for service to others. So taking that first point, let's think about how our skills come from God. Peter starts off in this passage by saying, as each has received a gift. All right, a gift from whom? God, for sure, of course. Another way of stating that is a verse that we've seen that our skills come from God. It's a verse we looked at over and over again throughout our lessons on stewardship. And it's one that needs to weigh well on our souls. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Whether it's a spiritual gift, a physical skill, your money, your health, whatever the case might be. What do you have that you did not receive? And so if then you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? But when it comes to our skills, someone might want to say, hold on just a second. That may be true of things like innate intelligence. But other skills that I have are things that I've worked really hard on, Like, my ability to play the piano represents thousands of hours of practice on my part. Or, I went to trade school to learn to work on cars, to be a skilled mechanic. Or, my writing skills represent years in the making. What do you mean that those come from God? Now, I honestly don't think any of you would actually say or think that. But let's just say, if we were to say or think something like that, what would be some other questions we'd need to follow up that kind of wrong thinking with? I don't know if I have these listed or not. I don't think I have them listed, but no, I don't. So that kind of mindset should be followed up with some questions like this. Well, who gave you the opportunity to get that education in the first place? Who was it that gave you the ability and the time to develop those skills in the first place? Try playing a trumpet without moving your fingers, right? And it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Who gave you the parents and the teachers and the coaches and the examples that motivated you to pursue those kinds of skills? The truth is, God has done it all. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And so our answer to that question in 1 Corinthians 4:7 is roundly and soundly nothing. I have nothing that I have not received. Therefore, we are not to boast as if we had not received them. So three implications, this is on your outline, three implications of our skills then being given to us by God. Here's the first one. God delights in your skill. He gave it to you. He gave you those capabilities. He gave you those capacities. And by capabilities and capacities, we mean the things you can do and how well you can do them. God delights. Think about Exodus 31, where God himself granted ability to his people, not to all of his people, but to certain of his people. He gave certain abilities to certain people so that his tabernacle was crafted with skill and beauty. It was the Lord who filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, and God filled him with ability and with intelligence and with knowledge and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And I have given to all men ability that they make all that I have commanded you. Isn't that beautiful? How God enabled them with certain skills to do certain things that he delighted in. Or then consider Psalm 33:3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings. Not just play the strings, but play skillfully on the strings. Not every week, not every month, but just every once in a while. Once in a blue moon, I'll say to our musicians, Rex and Steve, generally, like, look, guys, no false humility here. No, like, I'm not very good. I just do the best I can. No, no, no. God has given you skills. Use them to the max. Not showing out, but use them to play skillfully. God's given you those skills. And those skills delight him, as we can see from these examples. Here's a second implication of our skills being given to us by God, is that obviously God gets the credit for your success. Sometimes you hear people pray and they'll end their prayer something like this: and God will be careful to give you all the glory. You know, they've prayed certain things. God will be careful to give you all the glory. Good prayer. That's giving God the credit for our success. Deuteronomy 8:17. Think back where God said these words to the Israelites as they were just getting ready to enter into the promised land. Now, I'm going to read this verse from God's word in a measured kind of way because I want us to hear some things that are obviously inspired. But the first thing I want to draw our attention to is that word beware. Here's something to beware of. The second thing I want to draw our attention to is beware lest you say in your heart. So maybe this next phrase, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Be a pretty brazen statement to say that out loud. It's me. I did it. But that's not what's happening here. This is someone saying something in their heart. What do we say in our hearts? I'm not just using the words out loud. We'd never be so audacious as to say that out loud, but thinking in our hearts. So here God's saying, beware. Beware of what you're saying in your heart. Lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Then I want to, but you shall remember. Boy, how we need to remember this every day. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth or the power to build a house or the power to repair a car or the power to prepare a meal. For it's God who gives you power that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So not my power, but God who gives me power, so God gets the credit for my skills. And there is joy that comes from skills well used. That kind of joy of skills well used is good, and it's right, and it's God-honoring. But again, how often do we boast about things that we have no right to boast about? You need to hear again, if you've received that, then why do you boast as if you did not receive it? We need to be careful to beware what we're saying in our hearts, and we need to be careful to remember that it's the Lord our God who gives us all that we have. And a third implication of all of our gifts being given to us from God, this is an interesting point, is that limits in our skills are also from God. Our lack of skills also come from God. If it's God is the one who gives us the skills that we have, then God is also the one who doesn't give us certain skills that we don't have. And that's true of our capabilities, what we can do, and our capacities, how much of what we can do. Those limits are from God, and those limits are good. Now, in our skills that God has given to us, for sure, as stewards, that's the whole point, as stewards, we have a responsibility to hone and improve those skills. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit later. But our limits are from God just as much as our skills are. So I want to ask a question here. So here, having heard all that, what's a proper attitude of heart? Because we started off by saying, how should our thoughts differ in our skills than the world's thoughts? What's a proper attitude of heart? What should our hearts be saying inside of us from acknowledging that all our skills come from the Lord? What's a proper attitude of heart? Hopefully we've picked that up. Humility. What? Thankful. Humility. Faithfulness in using it. Again, no. One thing we sort of fought against a little bit on and off in this is this idea of a false humility. Remember that first lesson I said, not in the first lesson, part about the third lesson. I asked you to actually hold up your hands. I said, whoever those in our midst who think by God's grace, you've done a pretty good job at finances and you've done a pretty good job of planning for your future. And you've done a pretty good job of your savings and all those kind of things. And I ask you, Look, raise your hands if God's helped. And several of you did. And we did that so that we could funnel people to you, that you could help them who hadn't done such a great job about that. So yeah, faithfulness and joy in using our skills. So if God gives us our skills, why does he give us to them? And going back to that passage again in 1 Peter, where he says that as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, that's a straight up purpose statement, in order that in everything God may be glorified. Two specific examples of skills or gifts. Peter says, we speak using God's words. We serve using God's strength so that in everything God may be glorified. That's the term we use a lot as Christians. Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we use it a lot. But what do we mean when we say do what we do and do everything to the glory of God? And it's to put on God's worth. It's to show how great and excellent God is. It means that when it comes to our gifts, the gifts that God gave us, including our skills, he's given us in order to display how great he is, how powerful and wonderful and worthy he is. So let's think about three ways that our skills can be used to bring forth and to show glory to God. Here's the first one. Your skill is God's means of provision, especially to others. Your skills are God's means of showing his greatness, his goodness out into the world. Now, when we say that, we're leaning into the doctrine of vocation, something we studied several months ago. So we kind of unpacked that. Here's how Martin Luther put it. We pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And in the morning, the baker bakes the bread. And God gives us our daily bread through the skills of the baker. And we thank God for that. Or we need milk. And the milkmaid milks the cow. And through her, God provides us with the milk we need. The talented musician plays a beautiful piece on their instrument. And we listen to it and we hear it. And it's God's means of providing pleasure for us. A doctor treats a person with a medical condition, and that person is healed. Would it be wrong to thank God instead of the doctor for healing us from that medical condition? No, it would be right to thank God for that. Because God used the skills of the doctor as his means to bring healing to our bodies. So you see that our skills reflect God's glory because our skills are God's means of provision to others. I can't remodel that house, but you can. I can't play that piece, but you can. And those are God's means to bring blessing upon people and to bring glory to him. Secondly, our skills show off God's skills. And these three points are kind of pretty closely related, but they have some nuances of difference. So your skill show off God's skill. Well, how? Because first of all, he gave you that skill. So your smarts show off God's smarts. Your abilities to create show off God's abilities to create. Your ability to paint that beautiful picture shows God's ability to make those beautiful, glorious sunsets that we can see. So your skills show off God's skill. And then kind of related to that, your skill, our limited skill, reveals God's unlimited wisdom and power in creation. So in a sense, skilled work is a rediscovery of God's work in creation. Imagine a skilled scientist. And the skilled scientist makes a discovery. And imagine God's pleasure in that skilled scientist making that discovery. It's like God saying, yes, Sir Isaac Newton, I was waiting for you to figure that out, that law of gravity. Isn't it amazing? That's my law. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing. When you saw that apple drop down from the tree. Or the artist discovering the beauty of arranging things in a particular way with a particular medium. And God saying, yeah, I was waiting for you, Michelangelo, to figure that out. I was waiting for you to see how those things go together, because that's just a reflection of my power and glory in creation. And so God takes delight in his creation being discovered and appreciated and marveled at, because it shows off his wisdom. The point being, our skills aren't about showing us off. They're mostly about showing God off. Any questions or comments about that before we move forward? Anything about what we've said so far? Everybody's okay at the moment. Well, so if our skills are from God, as we've seen, and our skills are for God and for his glory, what role do we play in these skills? And it's this, that other verse in 1 Peter 4, where we read, and as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That's verse 10, by the way. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. What's it going to mean for us? What's it going to look like for us to steward well the skills that God has given to us? And consider several ways. First of all, if we're going to steward our skills well, we need to be sure that we're pursuing excellence in our skills. Maybe I'll come back to this in just a moment at the end of this point. Let's learn to despise mediocrity. How is it possible to do things to the glory of God in a mediocre kind of way? You can't do that. How can we do things to the glory of God in a lazy and a slothful way? Don't forget that in that opening passage we used to start off this lesson from the Gospels, that the description of the master to the unfaithful servant was, you wicked and what? Slothful. You wicked and slothful servant. You didn't apply yourself to the best of your ability. Granted, your ability came from me, but you didn't apply yourself to the best of your ability. So we want to pursue excellence. Colossians 3:23. Let me read it, and then let me ask you a little trivia question. It's not trivial, but it's trivia. And let me just, so I'm going to read it and ask you what the context of that verse is. So Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, let's read it together. Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. Okay, trivia question. What's the immediate context of that verse? Not just of that particular verse. In other words, Paul is addressing someone right there. He's addressed husbands, he's addressed wives, he's addressed parents. Who's he addressing with that verse right there? He's addressing servants, bond servants. So the immediate context of Colossians 3:23 is that the Apostle Paul is addressing those. Now, we don't want to say this because we don't want to make these distinctions between men. He tells us in Colossians 3 that there's no distinction between men. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. There's no distinction between Greek or Scythian. There's no distinction between poor and rich. And there's no distinction between the president and a bondservant. But still, he's addressing those individuals. These would have been individuals in that society. As Christians, we would make the distinction, but in their society, they would have been the ones, you might say, more or less assigned the menial task of the day. They weren't sitting on a throne. They weren't wearing fancy robes. They were assigned sort of the menial task. We might say they were on the lowest rung on the ladder. Again, not a distinction we want to make as Christians, but that's who they were. That's what they did. And it's addressing those individuals, those bond servants, that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says to them, there are no small places. There are no small tasks. There are no menial tasks. Whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord in a vertical dimension and not for men. Because you're serving Christ, the Lord, and doing what you're doing. Think about 2 Corinthians 5:9. I don't have it up there. It's just a verse that runs in my head. And the Apostle Paul said, I make it my aim, I make it my goal, I make it my ambition to be pleasing to Christ. Didn't matter what he was doing. That was his goal. He was aiming at something. You and I are always aiming at somebody. We're always aiming at something. And when we're doing stuff that's seen, we're always aiming at pleasing someone. Well, when you invite guests over to your house, and you're Amy Terrell, and you have on a scale of 1 to 10, like the skill of cooking on like a 100 on a scale of 1 to 10, then for sure you want to please your guest. And it's great for them to say, that was yummy, that was unbelievable. But ultimately and finally, you want to do that, but the Apostle Paul says, here's what I'm aiming at. I'm aiming at pleasing Christ in everything. So you can't, mediocrity is not congruent with doing things that are pleasing to Christ. Hear this verse in Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Listen, that kind of sounds like doing your work as to be seen by men. No, not at all. Not at all. Remember, this is a proverb. This is a proverb. So the way we interpret proverbs is proverbs are not for sure final. That's the way it always is, promises. Proverbs are general truisms. But here's a man who's made excellence his goal to be pleasing to the Lord, and it gets recognized. So you're probably going to be recognized when you make excellence your goal. You're going to be advanced. But again, you may or may not get advanced. You might get advanced. You might get that promotion. You might get that raise. You might not. But in the end, you're going to be doing what you do because you want to pursue excellence, because you want to be pleasing to the Lord. But in a general kind of way, in a general kind of way the world works, when you see someone who's skilled and they've pursued excellence in their skill, you see someone who gets recognized for that. Of course, sometimes it's good to pace ourselves, but again, there's no room for us as Christians to be scarce, lazy, or to be careless, or to be half-hearted in how we use our skills. As if to say, ah, that's good enough. So let me point out a couple of ditches to you on that. A ditch over here that we need to avoid with our skills is the ditch of perfectionism. Don't raise your hands, but do we have any perfectionists in the room? There's a ditch. Listen to what you're saying and beware what you're saying in your heart if you can't get out of the ditch of perfectionism. What are you saying in your heart? I want people to recognize me. I don't know. I want to feel really good about myself. I don't know what may be going on right there, but there's a ditch there. Another ditch is just that ditch of apathy and good enoughism. Just getting by. We want to pursue excellence to the glory of God and the skills that he's given to us. Also, use our skills well as stewards, we must invest in our skills. Jesus was a carpenter. I'm going to guess he was a good carpenter. The Apostle Paul learned the trade of tent making. I'm going to guess the Apostle Paul was a good tent maker. He was able to make a living at it and do it. And like other of our gifts that God has given us, we can and we should improve our skills. How can we do that? One way would be this, through education. And by the way, when I say education, this is not a plug in any way, form, or fashion that anybody and everybody go to college. I am so grateful when I hear some of our young people say, God's leading me off to college. And I'm just as grateful when I hear other of our young people say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going that direction. I don't want to use the time or the resources or my energy to do that because I don't think God's gifted me in that way. But we could be thinking about college. We could be thinking about vocational school. Some of our men have done that. Whatever happened to apprenticeships? Man, that's just kind of gone by the side, hasn't it? Apprenticeships. Auditing classes, things that God's made you good at. Taking master classes. I think those are things people can see and do online. So that's one way we can invest in our skills, making them better, but also by just practicing and training. So it's not necessarily formal, it's just practicing and training and honing our skills. I will ask you, how many have been blessed to see the movie Chariots of Fire? Chariots of Fire, good. It's a great movie, isn't it? It's a biographical movie on Eric Liddell, who was nicknamed the Flying Scotsman because he was very, very fast. He won the Olympic gold medal in a couple of races in the 1924 Olympics. And he was a Christian man. He was a missionary. And there was a time when, and I decided beforehand that I was going to resist doing this, trying to do this in a Scottish accent. I could borrow our South African people. Maybe they could do a little better Scottish accent, but I'm not even going to try. So there's a time in the movie where Eric's sister, Jenny, approaches him, and she says something like, Eric, no, I'm not going to do that. Eric, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. You train so much running, so much training. I think God's calling you to the mission field. He knew God was calling him to the mission field. He said to his sister, Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And he went on to be a gold medalist in the Olympics and had an incredible platform for sharing the gospel here, there, and yon, where he would never have the opportunity to share the gospel the way he did. And when he said, God made me fast, when I run, I feel his pleasure, he gave a voice to something very, very important. He gave a voice to the intersection of our faithfulness and our human skills that God gives to us. His words reveal that he was not just after human applause. He was after aligning his skills with God's purposes for God's glory. Someone said this about Eric Lowell. There it is. I believe God made me for purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And then someone said, when one rightly uses the skills given to him by God, he becomes more than a competitor. He becomes a living hymn sung with motion and with breath. Meaning, as we use our skills well, those that God has given to us, we can be like a human hymn, a living hymn sung with the motion and the breath of our lives and how we use those skills to the glory of God. Time to put away the false humility again. Always humility, please. Always humility. But you know, what has God made you good at? Think about it. I'm not asking you to answer that out loud, but what has God made you good at? As a faithful steward, work on honing and improving and making better those skills that God has given you. And then as we use our skills for God's glory, again, an interesting point, sometimes as good stewards, we'll have to lay aside some skills. We'll have to prioritize some skills and let some other ones sort of fall away. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what's wrong with that statement. You probably can't be great at everything. Make it again. You probably can't be great at everything. What's wrong with that statement? Probably? Definitely. Yeah, okay, you definitely. Okay, yeah. You definitely cannot be great at everything. Because you're not going to be great at everything. There's going to be a time where God's going to call us as stewards to concentrate and eliminate, or at least minimize some of those skills that he's given to us. Sometimes you'll need to decide when to lay aside some skills and say no to those, and when to emphasize certain skills and say yes to those. Think about Peter. Fisherman, a really good fisherman. He gets boatloads of fish. He made a living at it. But there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to put that away, and I want you to come and follow me. You can do that, and you can do that really well. But I'm asking you to do something else as my disciple. And maybe when you were a teenager, and some of you sitting here today as young teenagers, and you go to the ACE convention, and you're in volleyball, and you're in painting, and you're in plays, and you're in monologues, and you're in photo contest, and you're in poetry contest. There was a time when we were younger when we could pretty much invest in every skill we had. You were a musician, you were an athlete, you were a scholar, you were a babysitter, you were a friend, you were an Eagle Scout, you were all those things. I remember, I've got a friend, he's an elder in a church in Oklahoma, and he did something that I've never seen anybody else do that I've never heard of before. Great guy, really talented guy, and he played on the football team in high school. And he also marched in the marching band in high school. So he played the first half of the game, run and change into his band uniform, march in the marching band at halftime, run back and change back into his football uniform, and play the second half of the game. I've never known anybody to do that before. But we soon realize that we're probably going to feel the twinge of pain to have to say goodbye to certain skills to concentrate and emphasize certain other ones that God wants us to use. All I wanted to do, Carol, was play college football and then go on and play professional football. I loved it. And I was too small, and I was too slow, and I just wasn't good enough, pure and simple. Even though I loved that, there came a time when it went like the penny dropped, like, that's gone. That's not going to happen. I don't have enough skills for that. I had enough skills kind of at this level, but no more. We only have so much time. We only have so much life focus. So you may move away from the athletic skills. You might focus on music, and then you get married, and then you have babies, and then you don't play the piano as much as you like to or as much as you used to because now God's calling you to do something else that requires priorities. And so we have to look across all of our life and prayerfully choose which skills you think will allow you to best glorify God across the responsibilities he's given you. Invest in those, maybe lay aside others. Got to keep moving. Obviously, the last part here is that your skills are for service. We're going back to 1 Peter 4. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That's an important overlay of what we just talked about. What's the priority that you have in using your skill? The world would say it's to promote yourself. It's to make money. It's to make a big name for yourself. It's to cultivate your reputation. But remember, the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And our Lord himself said, I didn't come here to be served. I came to serve. And so when we think about it, I think maybe I have a question here. No, I don't. When we decide which skills we invest in, which skills we might invest less in, our primary lens should be not, first of all, my personal fulfillment, but how can I do and what can I do with the capacities and capabilities God has given me that could bring glory to God and could best help me to serve my family, my community, my church, my husband, my wife, being here to serve, not to be served, because as we receive those gifts, we're to use them to serve one another. Okay, that brings us then to the conclusion of 12 weeks on stewardship. I asked you to get both of those handouts back there. So let me just give you, draw your attention. Actually, before you look at the second handout, open your outline for today. You're going to see a chart there. Charts for you to do some homework on. And you can see that there's one example here. This is just an example. The skill is I have an ability to write. God's given me the ability to write clearly, okay? Question, how can or does this skill bring glory to God? Well, I can communicate truth about God. I can reflect God as a communicating God. That's God will use me as a means of communicating truth to the world, showing off his glory there. How can I be a good steward of this skill? Well, I can look for new places to use it, or I can read a book on the craft of writing. How does this skill serve others? Right now, not too much, but I could write encouraging notes to other church members. That's how it could be used to serve others. So what if you think honestly and prayerfully about skills that you think God would have you to invest in, not so much those that he'd have you to maybe not so much invest in, but skills that God would have you to invest in. Put the skill here, here and here, and then ask these questions. How can I use that skill to glorify God? How can I be a good steward of this skill? What can I do to make it better or improved upon or use it more faithfully? And then how would that enable me to serve others? So it's just taking this lesson and making it very practical. You understand what that's about? Is that clear? Okay, please do that. Please take a time to do that before the Lord. Just prayerfully before the Lord. You gave me these skills. God, help me to use them in a way that glorifies you and serves others. All right, look at that other sheet, if you would. This is for next week. And I'll bring back copies of this next week. But if you can, hold on to this. Because next week, we're going to spend the entire time in a review summary. So I don't have time to go over these, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Take some time this week. Think about these questions. Pray about these questions. Answer them. Come back being ready to talk To be honest with you, I had wanted so much more discussion in these lessons and dialogue than we've actually had, but they've packed so much into every lesson that I just tried to keep moving forward, and I would try to take a little break when I could. This morning I did it, and no one said anything on anything, so what can I say? But next week, I may just be bringing a chair to sit down in and asking these questions, and you're going to be talking. We're going to have an entire hour of discussion and dialogue. So I think the sheet's self-explanatory. If you see something here that's you don't understand, shoot me an email, shoot me a text, and I'll be glad to clarify anything for you. But this is for next week, Lord willing, we'll do this. Again, clear? Good? All right, let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not any of your benefits. Lord, everything we have received of you, and we gladly turn our hands and our hearts to you and say, Lord, be glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed.